I'd like to call the Mobile Source Committee meeting to order for April 26th. Please join Director Canepa on with the Pledge of Allegiance. Not on, but with.
Thank you, Director Haggerty.
You're welcome.
Pledge of Allegiance
to the flag
of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Sounded more like a cult chant. All right. Thanks, I think. All right. All right. Roll call, please.
On the roll for the Mobile Source Committee meeting of April 26, 2018, Director Abe Koga, Director Cutter,
present.
Director Groom, Director Hudson,
here.
Director Ju, Director Kim, Director Miley, Director Mitchell,
here.
Director Sparing, Committee Vice Chair Canepa,
oh, I'm here.
Committee Chair Haggerty.
Here.
We have a quorum.
Thank you. Could I get approval of the minutes for April?
So
I'm sorry, February 22nd. Good. Moved by Canepa, second by Hudson. Is there any objection to the motion? The motion passed without objection. Item three, projects and contracts with proposed grants over $100,000.
Good morning, Chair Haggerty and members of the Mobile Source Committee. This
morning,
we're going to kick off with the item that brings to your consideration projects that are requesting over $100,000. In grant funds, leading us through this presentation will be Mark Tang from the Technology Implementation Office. As part of this item, we also have another exciting component, which is three new sort of one-time funding sources that have been directed towards the Air District. So Mark will be also discussing those during this presentation.
Wonderful.
Hi, good morning, Chairperson Haggerty and members of the Mobile Source Committee.
Good morning.
As Karen just introduced, I'm Mark Tang. I'm a staff specialist in the Technology Implementation Office, and I lead some of the light-duty EV programs here at the Air District. I'm pleased to present Agenda 3, which is the consideration for approval of projects with proposed grant awards over $100,000 and new funding sources. So today, I'll start by providing some background information, describe the proposed projects and new funding, and finally conclude with staff recommendations. So the district has participated in the Carl Moyer program since it was created in 1998. The program is voluntary and aims to reduce emissions from heavy-duty diesel engines. It's jointly administered by the California Air Resources Board and local air districts in California. Funding is available to both private and public entities. The Mobile Source Incentive Fund is the district's funding source authorized by Assembly Bill 923, which allows the district to collect an additional $2 DMV registration fee. These funds can be used for eligible Carl Moyer program and lower emission school bus program projects. Next, I'd like to describe the Community Health Protection Grant Program. Assembly Bill 134 appropriated $250 million from the Greenhouse Gas Reduction Fund to reduce mobile source emissions in AB 617 communities. The Bay Area is allocated $50 million in to fund projects under the Carl Moyer program or the Proposition 1B goods movement program. And finally, the Transportation Fund for Clean Air, which is funded by a $4 DMV surcharge on the registration fees and is authorized by the Health and Safety Code. 60% of funding is awarded directly by the Air District, and the remaining 40% is distributed to congestion management agencies in the Bay Area, which we'll discuss today under Agenda 5. On March 1st of last year, the District Board of Directors approved participation in the Carl Moyer program and authorized the executive officer to execute contracts and amendments with grants awards up to $100,000. For your consideration today, there are 13 Carl Moyer program projects, which will replace 6 marine engines, 3 pieces of agriculture, and 14 pieces of off-road equipment for a total award of $4.8 million. These projects will reduce more than 24 tons of criteria pollutants per year, and more information on the projects can be found in Attachment 1 of the staff reports. These charts represent the Year 19 Carl Moyer Program funding allocated as of April 5, 2018. Including the projects being considered today. The chart shows allocations broken down by equipment category and by county. The funding allocated for these projects is about $15.9 million. More detailed information regarding these projects can be found in Attachment 2 of the staff report. And these next charts represent the total Carl Moyer program funding allocated since 2009. As with the previous charts, these charts are also broken down by equipment category and by county. And these projects represent around $151 million in grant awards. For the TFCA program, on April 19th, 2017, the board allocated about $29 million in TFCA funding for eligible projects in fiscal year 2018 and authorized the executive officer to execute contracts and amendments for projects with grant awards up to $100,000. On August 2nd, 2017, the board adopted the TFCA policies and evaluation criteria. Of the applications that were evaluated between February 1st, 2018 and April 5th, 2018, there were 7 eligible projects with a proposed grant award over $100,000. These 7 projects will install 756 Level 2 charging stations and 29 DC Fast charging stations in Alameda and Santa Clara counties. The total proposed award is $2.82 million, and these projects will reduce more than 3.42 tons of criteria air pollutants per year. These charts show the distribution of all the TFCA funding for eligible projects evaluated since July of last year. Again, similar to the previous charts, allocations are broken down by equipment category and by county. The total amount of funding on each chart is about $10.66 million, and more information on these projects can be found in Attachment 4 of the staff report. So the 2018 charge program closed on March 9, 2018. We received over 80 applications requesting over $6 million in funding to install charging stations around the Bay Area. So the map on the left shows the Level 1 and Level 2 charging network, while the map on the right shows the DC Fast charging network in the Bay Area. The blue dots, which I know might be hard to see, represent the Air District-funded chargers. So as you can see, we've made a significant contribution to the charging infrastructure here in the Bay Area. And with that said, we do recognize that there's still more work to be done, and we'll continue our efforts to increase EV infrastructure and adoption. So moving on to new funding, the Air District applied for $3.5 million in Carl Moyer Program State Reserve funding for projects eligible under the Carl Moyer Program guidelines. The district also applied for $5 million in funding under the Funding Agriculture Reduction Measures for Emission Reductions Program. Both AB 134 and AB 109 appropriated $135 million of the state budget for the reduction of criteria, toxic, and greenhouse gas emissions from the agriculture industry. And finally, $4.5 million from the Low Carbon Fuel Standard Mitigation Program. This funding is used to support Carl Moyer Program eligible projects and focus on the reduction of NOx emissions. So in conclusion, staff requests that the committee recommend the Board of Directors approve the Carl Moyer Program and Transportation Fund for clean air projects with proposed grants over $100,000, as shown in Attachment 1. Adopt resolutions authorizing the Air District to accept, obligate, and expand the new funding from the Carl Moyer Program State Reserve Program and Funding Agriculture Reduction Measures for Emission Reductions Program, and authorize the Air District to accept, obligate, and expand the new Carbon Fuel Standard Mitigation Funding. And finally, authorize the Executive Officer to enter into all necessary agreements with applicants for the recommended projects and new funding. So this concludes my presentation, and we're happy to answer any questions you may have. So thank you.
Thank you. Colleagues, are there any questions? So I do have a question, because I'm relatively familiar with the DC fast chargers in the Tri-Valley that are out there, and I actually tried to use them that dreaded night. I ran out of a charge in Lodi that we've all heard about before, and now you'll all remember that song, Stuck in Lodi, for the rest of the day. But having said that, I wasn't able to use those chargers in Livermore. They're at the outlet stores. the San Francisco outlet stores in Livermore. Go figure. The reason I wasn't, it wouldn't take the credit card. And I guess I'm wondering, have we made any headway to maybe get, not that my credit card was bad, by the way. Let me make that clear. But have we made any headway in getting any district-funded DC fast chargers out there?
So one of the things that we have been looking at, and we've been, based on this conversation with the board of directors, we've been looking at, our charge program's currently closed. We've been looking at a couple of different things. We have a region-wide plan that covers EV deployment here in the Bay Area. One of the things we want to do is be responsive to the board direction to see, you know, make sure that we have these DC charging equipment spaced out so that they're available to folks as they travel along highways. So one of the things we are doing is we're beginning an update of that plan, portions of that plan to address that particular area. And then the second thing you will see as we come back is that plan being implemented through our charge program, so we begin to fund that type of infrastructure. We've heard from this particular committee and the board of directors, the interest is in providing DC fast charging along highways and then continuing to support deployment of this type of infrastructure in multifamily dwellings. Also, we believe that it's still necessary to support charging in workplaces and where folks are going to congregate. So as we bring back the charge program to you later in the year, you'll see those priorities reflected in the program itself.
Okay. And then along the same lines, sticking with the theme of the Tri-Valley, the fairgrounds out, the county fairgrounds out there, I happen to go by the parking lot that Google is currently using to park cars for their Google Shuttle, and I noticed that it's amazing how many cars are parking there now, which is a good thing because they're using the shuttle. But I was thinking you may want to get with the fairgrounds to see if they'd be interested in putting some chargers out there, and whatever the county can do to help assist that, because it is right off the freeway. And some of those cars could be charging while they're sitting there parked during the day. And then those chargers could also be available during the evening. So, and I think Director Canepa likes my idea and wants to offer up his fairgrounds too. So,
thank you.
Now he doesn't even need to speak now. I would suggest that you get with the fairgrounds. If you need some help, I can help arrange that. Director Canepa, I don't want to.
No, you got it.
So
that would be great. We'd appreciate your assistance in that.
Okay. Director Mitchell.
And Director Haggerty made me think a little bit more deeply about this. When you come back with this program, are there going to be opportunities for us to maybe suggest additional locations or change it? I'm looking at what I call the Highway 4 corridor, and actually 80 really has hardly anything up there. And I'm hoping that when you come back with the recommendations, that will be included. And really, 680 doesn't have much either. So were these based on people applying for grants? Okay, so, and we've been down that road before, but what you're going to be coming back with are, what we've asked for is for more proactivity to go out to locations. So yeah, the Highway 480 corridor and the 680 corridor really need a lot of, and I'm sure Director Sparing isn't here, but up along in the North Bay, but I'm being very parochial today. Thank you.
I think he said that.
So I can add to that as well. One of the other things, in addition to the plan that Damian mentioned, we also are going to be expanding the EV outreach that we're doing with customers and with building owners and managers. I think right now we're in a bit of a chicken and egg problem where there are electric vehicles, it's people are applying for grants, but where there are fewer vehicles, we're just not seeing as many applications for infrastructure. So we want to pair those two together.
And I appreciate that. I've reached out to some of my cities, and Concord, they're not going to like me saying this, but I mean, they got some Tesla chargers at their new shopping center, whoopee-doo. I don't see anything in the downtown. I park there almost every day, whereas my home city has chargers downtown. So I don't know why they're not applying, but we need to put some there. And the other thing that kills me is in the new shopping center parking lot in Walnut Creek Broadway, they have special places for electric and vehicles, like they get a priority to park closer to the stores, but there are no charging pieces of equipment. There's a Tesla downstairs, and it shows like it's a handicap. Not your problem, but there's a lot of issues we're going to have to deal with here, and I can't believe downtown Concord doesn't need some of these charging stations, as does Walnut Creek. But if they're along the highway, that would be very helpful. Thank you very much.
Director Canepa.
Quick question, Damien. Walk us through the, remember you were going to update us sort of on the infrastructure and put things together. Tell me where we're at on schedule. When are you going to, when's the plan to doing that? Is that going to be the next couple months? Are we looking next meeting? Can you sort of just...
So there are a couple of different elements to that. We started this year by giving you at your last meeting kind of an overview of the EV picture in the Bay Area. At your next meeting, our intention is to update you on the EFMP program, which is the low income kind of element of the equation. It's a new program that we're launching that provides funding for low income residents to get into these chargers. There have been a couple of developments since the last time we actually updated you on this. PG&E have now been approved for their heavy duty program. And we are, as we said, going through that process. So I think it'll be rolling out in portions with kind of a roll up later in the year and probably, you know, more on the charging and charge program later in the fall.
What would be helpful to me, I'm glad you're rolling it out and it's great. It seems like you have a plan moving forward. You know, at the end, you know, at the end of the year or the end of this year, maybe what we can do is you could just sort of summarize all of those things, because there's a lot of information going in and out, right? And so I think as policymakers, we're being asked by our constituents, you know, for these resources, for EV. And what I've sort of found out is it's much more complicated than just saying, hey, I need a charge station. And I think you know, if we were able to aggregate the information from this year, it sort of makes it easy for me as a policymaker to sort of explain exactly what we're doing, okay?
We hear that loud and clear. We're breaking it into chunks because of that reason, because the topic is so complex and broad, but our intention is to give you a summary of kind of where everything is. That will hopefully come through our plan. It'll aggregate a lot of that information. And then we also are working on some of our web and other resources, so this can be available for everybody.
So what I'm hearing from you is
yes.
Yes, we're going to have a summary.
Yes, we are.
Thank you, Damien.
Director Cutter.
Thank you. One of the things that would be helpful is to have an exact location of some of these things. I mean, I know it's good for dots, and it's just hard not to be able to see that. Then the other, thank you, Damien, for bringing that, I mean, for coming back with kind of the criteria that you're looking for. I mean, I'm sure because I'm new, I've got all these ideas that have been tried and true, all talked about and so forth. But would you, you know, are you considering stops off the freeway that have these car dealerships and that perhaps sell electric cars and congregate a lot of people? You know, we have a couple, I know in Dublin there's a big area there. And then, as you're saying, the shopping centers downtown, we have one at our courtyard, which is great for our city, but it doesn't seem to get used by people. I mean, it was sponsored by us, but so it'll be interesting to see where you've checked and the opinions of where these things will be going on. And then where people hang out at the libraries and stuff like that. I mean, it's something that elderly people seem to be able to get to and be able to depend on, as opposed to a shopping center where they have to negotiate all the parking and stuff. But thank you.
Okay, with that, I don't think, I'll be coming.
Thank you. I'm sorry I'm a little late, so I may have missed some of this, but I have a question from my part of the area. I'm excited because there seems to be a convergence happening. We have the Clean Energy, Silicon Valley Clean Energy Authority, and they're in the process of, we have an advisory committee that's looking at potential programs, and it looks like they're moving towards EVs. My city of Mountain View, we have an environmental sustainability task force that's coming together with recommendations, and they seem to be coming towards transportation and EVs. And they've actually asked the city council to look at funding more staff to help with sustainability projects. And so I guess I'm trying to understand, how do we bring all of this together? And from your perspective, like, what would be helpful for a city like ours to increase resources towards, to really get this? And I know that we're an area that probably is pretty good with EVs and chargers and so forth, but, you know, how do we really penetrate the industry or the market, per se? And what can we do as a city or a clean energy authority to really get this deployed?
I think it's a really good opportunity and challenge that you're raising, and that there's a lot happening. But we also don't want people out there reinventing the wheel or trying to figure things out on their own. So
that's my big concern, is how do we be efficient in doing this?
So as a regional agency, I think what our focus has been over the last few years, the Air District has been running an EV coordinating council to bring people together across the public and private sectors to share information. Moving forward, part of that outreach component that I mentioned would also include resources for local governments, that there are examples of ordinances and policies and best practices that, especially in Santa Clara, a lot of that is happening, that we want to create templates and resources that could be picked up very easily by other areas as well.
So for like our Clean Energy Authority, we're looking at, and it's not a lot of money, but I think $1 million. How would be best to use that?
So I was just going to ask Brittany to talk about a little bit about the meeting we had with them earlier in this year.
Oh, great.
Yeah, we did coordinate together and talk about ways to work together on providing our funding in parallel streams.
Great. Okay.
So that we're not overlapping, but we're coordinated together. I think when you look at the amount of charging that would be needed to get to the EV goals that we have, of, you know, the vast majority of vehicles being electric, right now, if you add up all the funding, it's a small fraction of what's the funding that's needed. So there are definitely opportunities for all of the funding to be coordinated together.
Would you say, is it still a price barrier for consumers to, you know, buy EVs? Is that where we should be focusing in on? I mean, I know there's the charger piece, but how do we really incentivize people to move?
Yeah, so Damian mentioned next month.
Sorry.
Sorry, we'll be presenting
about, we talked about this.
The low-income program, where there are opportunities for people to actually save money with electric vehicles.
Yes.
But it's a financing question.
Okay.
And so we want to address that issue so that it becomes accessible to more people. And if we focus on the vehicles and the charging infrastructure in a coordinated way, then I think that will also help, because people aren't going to get a vehicle if there isn't charging. People aren't going to want to install charging if there aren't people driving. So we're going to link those programs up.
Yeah, and I think our conversation with your clean energy group has been principally around that lower end of the income spectrum, and that's where we think they can have the most impact.
Okay.
So hate to say this, but if you can give us until the next committee meeting, we'll be coming back with the details of that program for you.
All right, thank you.
Okay, with that, I think we have a couple speakers on this item.
Richard Sinkoff and James Rice.
Oh, you want to speak?
Oh, I'll wait until they speak.
It's probably not that enlightening anyways. What? Yeah, really.
There we go. Good morning, Chair Hagerty and
morning.
Members of the Mobile Source Committee. Good morning, Air District staff, members of the public. My name is Richard Sinkoff. I'm the director of the Division of Environmental Programs and Planning at the Port of Oakland. First, wanted to congratulate the district on moving forward so many important projects under this agenda item on behalf of significant improvements in regional air quality throughout the region in so many sectors. I'm here today to just talk about the factor of time on an application that we're very interested in. One of our tenants, and Mr. Rice will talk about that, has submitted a responsive application under the Carl Moyer program. It's a very exciting project to retrofit the largest pieces of equipment other than the cranes at their terminal in Oakland, 13 hybrid electric cranes, which are the first stage in electrification of that terminal as the Port of Oakland moves to zero and near zero emissions. We're very excited about the project. It has tremendous immediate near-term reductions in NOx, SOx, diesel particulate matter, more than 40% greenhouse gas emission reductions. We have heard, we're very pleased to have heard from staff on April 2nd that the application meets the Moyer criteria. We would very much like to see this on the agenda on May 24th. So I urge the committee and the staff to work with our tenant in a timely manner so we can get those pieces of equipment deployed on behalf of immediate term emission reductions for our most impacted neighbors in West Oakland, and also for the over 400 workers who are on the terminal every single day using that equipment. So thank you for your attention.
Thank you. The port's come a long way.
But I had a question for him.
Oh, you do?
Yeah. Well, I'm going to take every opportunity this comes up. What I just heard was you thanked the Air District for doing a good job in reducing emissions. How can that be when we have 50 people a meeting come in here and tell us we've never done anything?
Well, don't blame him.
No, I'm going to give him an opportunity to say it again. Have we done some things at the port that have helped?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. There's no question about it. It's a partnership. And we hear the urgency as well from our neighbors. So I think we're all working diligently in a focused manner to continue to move forward on emission reductions. But there's no question that the Air District, in partnership with the port, with our neighbors, with our tenants, with the workers, have done a tremendous job.
Thank you for pointing that out, Chair Hudson. I think you should be on the Board of Supervisors, though. They come and tell us all the time what we're not doing, that we're doing. So go ahead, sir. Didn't okay. Steal it. You never had it.
All right, it's still on. So thank you for allowing us to speak today. Good morning, everyone. My name is James Rice. I'm the general manager at SSA Terminals in Oakland. We are the largest tenant. Excuse me. The largest tenant in Oakland as a terminal operator. As Richard stated, we do support a significant amount of workforce in the port, and I'm here to also show my enthusiasm for the Carl Moyer project that we have on the table. I know we spoke to the Air District regularly, and this project, again, will reduce the emissions for our 13 RTG units, which are rubber tire gantries. Those actually service the trucks on a daily basis and on a nightly basis. What we're most excited about is the emissions that these do represent. Currently, there's about 1,000 horsepower engine, diesel engine in these units. It's going to be reduced to about 142 horsepower, and that will then generate battery electricity to run these units. Not only will that reduce the particulates in the air, also the workers themselves will feel the effects and the surrounding community. So I want to thank you again for this opportunity. And if we can get on the agenda on the 24th, look forward to future progress. Thank you.
Thank you. Any comment from staff?
I think where we're at with this particular project is, we see that SSA have come forward with these rubber tire gantry cranes, the hybrid. Where we're intended on funding them is from the AB 134 pot of funding. So that's a little bit different than regular Moyer.
Okay, so just keep in mind that this isn't on today's
agenda. Yeah, so I'm going to keep it short.
Yeah.
Basically, we are supporting this project as a compromise. Staff's position is, and the position of the community is that these should be going to full zero. We see that in other areas of the state that they are. We see that has been a technology that is available now. So we, I think, are ready to bring this project forward, but we're just working out one more detail with the terminal, which would be we'd like to see a future commitment for them to go to zero if it's technically possible. Yeah, I'm not gonna make
it. Okay, thank you. Do you think you'll make the date that they're requesting?
I think we will.
Okay, there you go. That's really what I was looking for. Thank you, Damien. Chair Hudson, did you have something?
I wanted to go back to what we were talking about before they got up to speak. And I know I shouldn't give you a compliment. I think when Chair Hagerty brought this up about the charging, there were a couple things that we focused on that I don't want to lose sight of. One, there isn't anything urgency off the freeway. I go back to the days when Highway 5 first opened. They only had four gas stations all the way up and down the freeway, and you had a hard time finding a place or getting off even when you did. So there's the freeway component of it, and I still think that we should be contacting the people doing the hydrogen refueling that are going up and down the state and see if we can add it to it. There's a second part of it. It's like he said, well, when you're charging these things, you got to have somewhere other than sit in your chair playing with your telephone for 4 hours or whatever it takes to charge a thing. So they probably have to have something else for you. That's one part of it. The other one, when we talk about downtown, shopping, convenience, et cetera, that I'm not going to minimize the importance of it, but where the real problem is something he stated that I haven't heard. When you plug in your car at night, it only charges about 50% of it. So, I mean, what we really need is some kind of technology, what we're working on for other things, that if you've got this thing plugged in for 4 hours, you've completely charged up. So there's the home where people really should be charging for the day. And then there's the problem if you're on the long-term trip of doing that. And I think it may be time, I know I bring this up, but I'm supposed to be one not going for a tax, but it may be time to increase that surcharge, if nothing else, for the Technology Implementation Office. So get Tom on it, tell him to pass the bill, and let's get on it. If these people around the port want to go to full zero, there's a tremendous cost for that. They should be behind this.
Okay, thank you. So this does come with a recommendation from staff.
I'll move the item.
Okay, moved by Mitchoff, seconded by Canepa. Is there any objection to the motion? Motion will pass without objection. Moving to item 4, Transportation 2019 Fund for Clean Air Funding Allocation.
Great. So this next item represents the first step that we're taking with the Transportation Fund for Clean Air. So we're beginning the 2019 cycle. So the first step in this involves, these are funds that, as you've heard earlier, they're derived from DMV fees. So they, except on very rare occasion, they continue to accrue on a monthly basis. So for that reason, you don't see that we bring an item where we're asking you to accept the funds because they're already arriving. But that said, on an annual basis, we do bring this item to the board. There are some items that we do need board approval for, so we begin here at the committee. And so as part of this first step, today we'll be asking for your allocation of the new revenues that are going to be coming this year so that we can put them into different programs, and also authorizing the cost effectiveness for the projects that are administered directly by the Air District. Later next month, we'll be bringing the second step, which is the policies that guide the regional fund. So there'll be more in that. But one thing that I do want to point out that is related to the conversation that we just had on some of the challenges with EV, one of the items that we've done with an Air District-sponsored program, which is the CHARGE program, is we are recommending an increase to the cost-effectiveness level for charge stations that are installed at multifamily dwelling units, transit stations like BART or Caltrain, as well as park and rides, like Director Hagerty mentioned, for the Google Shuttle, because these are ones that we've had really good success installing chargers at workplaces and even in shopping areas. And in general, we've had really good success. But those three areas are where we're really seeing a lot of lagging in the infrastructure. So that is part of the recommendation that you'll be hearing about as well. So with that, I'd like to turn it over to Chen Feng Wang, who is the manager in the Strategic Incentives Division.
Thank you, Karen, for the introduction. Good morning, Chair Haggerty and the members of the Mobile Source Committee. As Karen mentioned, today I'll be presenting the proposed allocation by program category of the Transportation Fund for Clean Air, or TFC, program's new funds for fiscal year ending 2019. During this presentation, I will begin by providing some background information of the TFC program. Then I'll go over the funding allocation by program category and the proposed cost effectiveness limits for air district sponsored programs, and then conclude the presentation with STEP's recommendations. This morning, you already have heard of TFC background information from Mark Tang during the previous presentation. The TFC is funded by a $4 per vehicle DMA surcharge. 60% of this funding goes to the regional fund and the air district-sponsored programs. And that is the part of the funding we are talking about during this presentation. As required by the legislation, the Air District Board of Directors allocates the funding and also adopts the cost effectiveness criteria annually, which is the purpose of this presentation. Staff estimates a total of approximately $15.03 million in new TFC funds will be available for air district allocation during fiscal year ending 2019. Column A of this table shows the proposed allocation of this new TFC funds to each of the proposed programs. For fiscal year 2019, we are proposing to continue using the three-leg stool strategy for allocating the new TFC funds. Those include three program categories, which are trip reduction, clean air vehicles, and other air district sponsored programs. In addition to the TFC new funds, column B of this table shows the estimate carryover from prior years. The carryover comes from projects that were canceled or closed out under budget. So we estimate that approximately $7.08 million in carryover will be available for fiscal year ending 2019. Column C, which is highlighted in yellow, shows the total amount of TFC funds that will be available during fiscal year 2019, which include both the new funds and the carryover. The total estimated TFC funds available for fiscal year ending 2019 is $22.11 million. So now I'd like to provide a brief description of each of the program categories that are proposed for fiscal year ending 2019. And I start with trip reduction. This category provides this category includes existing shuttle and ride sharing, pilot trip reduction, and bicycle facilities programs. These programs work to reduce motor vehicle emissions by providing incentive funds to support the first and last mile connection to mass transit to help commuters switch away from driving single occupancy vehicles. Over time, it becomes a challenge for trip reduction projects to meet the cost effective limits as the light duty fleet has become cleaner. Especially for shadow services projects that have been affected the most because the medium and heavy duty buses used to provide shadow services have not become cleaner as fast as the light duty vehicles. And so the air quality benefits result from these projects have been declining. To address this challenge, Air District staff has been exploring new alternative trip reduction solutions that can more cost-effectively reduce single occupancy vehicle trips so that the TFC can continue to support the trip reduction program category. So for fiscal year ending 2019, we are proposing $5 million in new TFC funds be allocated to this trip reduction program category. In addition, at least $1 million in carryover funds will also be available for this category. Funding for this category, again, will be used for shuttle and rideshare, pilot trip reduction, and bicycle facility programs. Next, I'm going to discuss the clean air vehicles category, which provides funding to accelerate the deployment of zero and near zero emission vehicles in the Bay Area. This program has been very successful in accelerating the adoption of electric vehicles in the Bay Area, which has one of the highest adoption rates in the nation, electric vehicle adoption rates in the nation. For fiscal year ending 2019, we are proposing $5.35 million in new TFC funds be allocated to this program category. On top of these new funds, an estimated $6.08 million carryover funds will also be available for this category. Funding for this program will be used for a variety of zero-emission vehicle incentive projects, which include the purchase and lease of heavy-duty, light-duty vehicle, heavy-duty trucks and buses, light-duty vehicles, and also the charging infrastructure. In addition, funds will also be used to provide match funding to support the implementation of ARB's Enhanced Fleet Modernization Program, or EFMP, which Damien just mentioned a few minutes ago about the EFMP program. This program will provide funding for low-income, qualifying low-income residents to purchase new or used plug-in electric vehicles, and also to transition to other mobility, cleaner mobility options. These funds will also be used to as match funding to support the partnership with MTC on other electric vehicle outreach and other activities, mostly outreach activities. So next, I'd like to talk about the proposed Air District Sponsor Program for fiscal year ending 2019. For fiscal year ending 2019, we will continue to support the Spirit Air Outreach Program to reduce single occupancy vehicle trips in order to reduce the emissions of ozone precursors. We are proposing $2.31 million in new TFC funds be allocated to this program. The Air District's Vehicle Buyback Program provides $1,000 per vehicle to encourage early retirement of model year 1996 or older vehicles, passenger vehicles. We are proposing $150,000 in new TFC monies be allocated to support the outreach of this vehicle buyback program. The Air District also has an enhanced mobile source and commuter benefits program, which covers vehicle patrols, drayage truck regulation enforcement, and enforcement of commuter benefits program. We propose $550,000 be allocated, new funds be allocated for this program. Lastly, I'll be discussing the proposed cost-effective limits for the Air District sponsored programs. Cost-effectiveness, or a CE limit, represent the maximum amount of TFC dollars can be awarded for reducing 1 surplus tons of NOx, ROG, and PM. We are proposing to keep this CE limits the same as current year's limits, with one exception. Currently, the CE limit for charging station projects is $250,000 per ton of emissions reduced, with the exception that it is $500,000 for charging station projects that also install renewable power. We propose this $500,000 high limit be expanded to include projects that are located, charging station projects that are located at multi-dwelling units, transit stations, and park and ride lots. That's what the Director Hagerty mentioned, the fairground parking lot, include that. This change will provide additional financial incentives to help address the challenges for installing charging stations at these locations and help the region build a more robust EV charging network and also help address Chair Hagerty's comment. In closing, staff request the request committee recommends board directors allocate $15.03 million in new TFC monies to the programs listed in Table 1, authorize the proposed cost-effective limits for the district-sponsored programs and projects listed in Table 2, and authorize the executive officer to enter into funding agreements and contracts up to $100,000 for projects and programs listed in Table 1. This concludes my presentation, and we are happy to answer any questions
you
may have.
Thank you. Well, we know there's some. I'm trying to understand on the slides aren't marked. Trip reduction for public agencies, carpool vanpools, ride sharing services for riders from at least five Barry counties, with no more than one county accounting for more than 80% of all riders. Can you explain that to me?
Sure. The reason that these are the regional funds. There's another 40% of TFCA, which we'll be hearing about in the next item, which is the funding that it comes from the same source, and then the Air District passes forward 40% of that, which represents $12 million on an annual basis, which goes directly to the county program manager agencies. I think now they're called the county transportation agencies, and they then can do these kinds of programs. So the years ago when we were oversubscribed for these funds, the feeling was that the regional funds for ride sharing should really provide regional benefits. So in other words, they should be used for places that there's a lot of riders from different parts of, from different counties where it would be difficult for a local agency to prioritize that project. So that's really where that requirement comes from.
Are we talking like ACE? Is that what we're talking about? I'm trying to figure out what we're trying to get.
So, for example, the projects that we fund under that would be projects that are sponsored from MTC as a 511.org program, and the second rideshare project that we have funded for decades is one that is sponsored by San Jose State University, where there are students coming from all over the region to that location. What we don't want to fund, for example, is a rideshare program, say, at a school where they're just creating carpools within that neighborhood. And so the only people that they're serving are folks from that local community, because the reality is that when we do the cost effectiveness evaluation, that project likely would not qualify for funding.
So I specifically asked about ACE.
So ACE has not applied for a rideshare program. They've applied for a shuttle program, which is also part of that.
I know, but it's existing shuttle and ride sharing. That's why I'm asking.
So ACE is funded under the existing shuttle portion. I'm sorry, I thought I heard you say ride share.
Oh, I see.
I apologize.
You're right.
So it's the same pot of funding, but they're slightly different criteria. So the shuttle projects don't have that requirement that you're referring to, the 80%. We don't look at that layer for shuttle projects, but I will tell you that the projects that are most successful for shuttles are the ones where riders are coming from long distances because of the way that we do that calculation. We just don't have that as a requirement for shuttle projects explicitly.
I got it now.
Thank you. I apologize.
No, thank you for clarifying it for me. Anybody else?
Got a quick question. Damien, thank you, Mr. Chair. On the vehicle buyback, how much money do we expend on the total for the vehicle buyback program?
Roughly around $7 million per year. This particular portion of the funding is in support of that, so it allows us to do the administration and some of the portions of the program that are not fully funded by the state money we get. So that program is one of our most successful perennials. On average, each month it does about 600 or 700 cars are scrapped, and that's a big air quality benefit for us.
You know, I've never even heard of it.
What?
No, okay. I'm just kidding. But I don't think, sorry, no. Thanks, Nate. I'm glad you showed up.
You're out of order.
So Damien, let me ask you, there's a tremendous amount of demand. Is that correct?
There continues to be a high amount of demand. We halted this program a couple of years ago in favor of the Bureau of Automotive Scrappage program. But that program was in this area continuously oversubscribed, and that's why we've restarted it. Our next move will be to take this program and combine it with the EFMP program so that our low-income residents are getting the benefit from the scrappage of their car and additional funding to get them into a cleaner vehicle. So we've been fighting for a long time to get into that program. So this is one of the, again, this is in support of that, and it's an area that we'll be updating you on at your next meeting.
So do you think, Damien, $7 million is enough, considering the demand?
I think that it's a level that we're comfortable. We always take a portfolio approach, right?
Yeah.
We have health and air quality benefits that we need to get from a certain segment of that portfolio. So at $7 million, it's kind of been running there consistently. We don't see a need, I think, on an annual basis to up that. But we may come back to you with a different proposal once we get the EFMP going. We'll have to see how popular that program is. If it's very popular, you may see us making another shift a little bit further down the line. But we want to get that program up and running first.
Thank you.
So that was a good question. I thought you were going to ask a great question, though. So have you ever thought of maybe... have we ever thought of, instead of just doing like a gasoline swap on the vehicle buyback and saying, we're going to give you an extra... The vehicle buyback is what now? What are we at? What's the level?
It's $1,000, and I think it's pre-1996 vehicles now. Yeah, I know, because
we're getting
I just
close
got one
to my
myself.
Car.
Yeah, my wife got one last evening. I won't tell you her
actually,
response.
Actually, I just bought a car that does qualify now. But yeah. you can't have it for your price. But can I? Have we ever thought of maybe going to like $2,000 on if you swap to an electric?
So the EFMP program will do
that.
Yeah. So that will be up to $9,500 for someone to turn in an older vehicle, and then funding for that, as well as money to cover
a
new or cleaner
vehicle.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Okay. Anything else? Action item. Moved by Cutter. Seconded by Avikova. Any objection to the motion? Motion passed without objection. Thank you.
Great.
Next item, please.
Great. So this last item today also represents the first step in the cycle for the fiscal year ending 2019 Transportation Fund for Clean Air County Program Manager Funds. So in the last presentation, we discussed that there's the regional fund, which we just discussed. This is for the County Program Manager Fund. And walking us through this presentation is Linda Hui. Thank you.
Okay, good morning, Chair Haggerty and members of the Mobile Source Committee.
Do the intro and we'll get the slides up, Linda, if you don't mind.
I don't need it.
Okay, just keep going.
Okay.
Yeah.
So during this presentation, I'll provide a background on the TFCA County Program Manager Fund, present the fiscal year ending 2019 County Program Manager Fund expenditure plans, and conclude with staff's recommendation. So this morning you have heard about the 60% portion of the TFCA fund by state legislation. Okay. By state legislation, 40% of the TFCA funds are pass-through funds to the nine Bay Area counties through a program called the County Program Manager Fund. This presentation focuses on the TFCA County Program Manager Fund. Each year, the nine county program managers submit expenditure plans to the Air District specifying funds available for projects in the upcoming fiscal year. New funding must be approved by the Air District's Board of Directors. After board approval, the county program managers have 6 months to allocate the available funding to projects in their own jurisdiction using Air District approved policies. The fiscal year ending 2019 policies were adopted by the board on November 1st of last year. Funds that have not been allocated by the 6 month deadline will be awarded by the Air District to projects within the county's respective jurisdiction. This slide shows a summary of the funds available to the county program managers in fiscal year ending 2019. We are seeking board approval on the estimated new TFCA funds, which is the second column of this table shaded in blue. This amount is passed to each of the nine counties and is determined by each county's proportionate share of fee paid vehicle registration. To the right of that is a column showing funds available for reprogramming from prior year projects that were either canceled or completed under budget and from any interest earned. The last column is the sum of the previous two columns, which is the total funds available to each county program manager in fiscal year ending 2019, and is the total funds we are seeking to enter into funding agreements with the county program managers.
Wait a minute, I need clarification. I'm sorry. I thought I understood this, but maybe I just confused myself. So the $445,000 dollars at Alameda County, they haven't actually, or the Transportation Commission, they haven't actually lost that money yet, correct? Okay, correct. Then I do understand it.
Correct. Yeah. These are their funds from last prior years that they're going to spend this year.
And they would tell me that although it is a large amount, they've never lost any money. Okay. But they do tell me that because of the large or because of the stringent rules that we give them, which are sometimes even more stringent than our own rules, well, that's what they say.
It used to be, I mean, this, okay. Well, this maybe, has been evolving, maybe, yeah.
Okay, but they have a hard time getting these funds out sometime.
And you see that we all have a hard time. We've
but we're the
this.
Ones that make the rules.
Well, no, so the legislation actually requires a couple things. One, it requires that the funds be expended within 2 years. So we're all under pressure to move the funds. That's a state requirement.
Right, but we set the guidelines.
And yes, but we are limited by the guidelines on what projects are eligible. And as we've discussed over time.
For example, we set the cost effectiveness. We raised the cost effectiveness on chargers.
On everything, yes.
Right.
We've raised
we didn't have to do that.
So what's happened is in the past, projects, and I mean, when these funds first started in 1992, it was not uncommon to see many projects that were cost effective at 10,000, you know, 50,000, certainly under 100,000. We've discussed this with the committee. As the fleet of vehicles, which is how the calculations are done, has gotten cleaner, the sort of the low-hanging fruit is gone, and it really is difficult for all of us to make projects meet cost-effectiveness requirements, which the state requires that we set. So for that reason, you've seen staff increase the recommendations on the regional fund, and we've done the same thing on the county program manager side as well, so that we all have as much flexibility as possible to fund the best current projects possible.
Well, I guess in the words of our chair, we need to get Tom working on this.
Yeah.
Because it's a problem for all of us.
I think that is something that we need to explore in the future. Leadership. Because if you look across our portfolio...
So, can I...
Yeah. If I could just explain, like, across our portfolio, this year's $100 million. The majority of those projects, almost 60%, 70% of them... are going to be in probably low-impacted communities, and they're going to be at a cost effectiveness of around $10,000. We kind of deliberately boost up the cost effectiveness on this side so we can do as many projects as possible. But we're at when you kind of look across the portfolio, there's definitely an imbalance there. So it's not lost on us that we either need to change this legislation or give ourselves more categories that we can apply this funding to.
Can I ask a question that I should know the answer to, and I apologize. But can we use this money on, like, complete streets, active transportation, things like that?
So some of those projects are potentially eligible through the legislation. We have found in our experience that those are very difficult for the Air District to administer. They normally did not complete within 2 years. These are projects that have very long time horizons. It was not unusual to have them take 10 years and then they would fall out or change. And so that's why you're seeing some of this old fallout as well. On the county program manager side, we've continued to support their use of all of the categories that are available through the legislation. And given that we have limited funds, as Damien's mentioned, for the Air District portion, we've focused it on the categories that we find are the most successful to achieve early emissions reductions.
Okay, but let me drill down on some specifics here. Could, if Alameda County, let me continue to pick on Alameda County. Say they needed $455,000 to do a bike ped project. Would that qualify?
Absolutely. Okay. There is one thing. It has to meet the cost effectiveness criteria. And the issue there is that those projects, what happens is there's over the lifespan of the project, there's a benefit that's calculated and it decreases very quickly. So for bike ped, this is a really good one. For roadways, for smart signal timing, for things like that, not so great.
Okay, what about a trail project?
So again, because what we're required to do is fund projects that reduce emissions from single occupancy vehicle projects. So,
okay.
To the extent that the trail is a way for commuters to get to transit, then it's a good project. To the extent that it's a recreational trail project, not as effective.
Okay. Exactly. Go ahead.
How about like the greenway that we're putting in Alameda County under BART, going from Oakland all the way to South Hayward?
So the assumption I think there would be that would be a bicycle project. It could apply for this funding. It would have to show that the people who are using it are giving up single occupancy vehicle trips versus using this as a way to get to work and those types of things.
So if you had it directly from a TOD to BART or something like that, that would be...
Yeah, absolutely.
Thank you.
Okay.
Project, yeah.
Okay, proceed. Thank you. I'm sorry.
Okay, so in conclusion, staff requests that this committee recommends the Board of Directors, 1, approve the allocation of new fiscal year ending 2019 TFCA County Program Manager Expenditure Plan funds listed in Table 1, and 2, authorize the executive officer or APCO to enter into funding agreements with the county program managers for the total funds to be programmed in fiscal year ending 2019 listed in Table 1. And that concludes my presentation, and we'll be happy to answer any questions.
Are there any more questions? Is there a motion?
So moved.
Moved by Mitchoff, seconded by Canepa. Is there any objection to the motion? Motion will pass without objection. Marcy, is there any public speakers? No public speakers. Then if you'll give me a second, I will go back to my agenda because I was on my notes. Okay, with that, we are committee member comments. Okay, it looks like... He's not really a committee member.
Yes, he is. I put myself on it.
Yeah, you're an ex officio.
No, I'm a real deal.
Can I check that? Let me check real quick. Oh, Jesus. Yeah, go ahead.
Thank you. I'll be brief, and the staff knows about it. Had an incident with security on the elevator today going up to Fast Track. what I want to point out for anyone in the room, if you have any incident similar on anything dealing with Fast Track, let Jeff know, Jeff McKay, and he's going to take it up to the condo board. This can't continue. We need to get them off the second floor, get them out of the elevators.
Okay. Security, when I'm walking out with my staff, chases my staff and tries to not let my staff even walk with me. So,
well, after this morning, that might be okay after what you told me.
I don't know if they know that I carry. So we can go the OK Corral out there if they want. Okay, so with that, did you know that, Canepa? I didn't think so. Okay, so we will adjourn till March 24th unless, I'm sorry, May 24th unless you'll probably cancel it, the committee. So we'll adjourn. Thank you. You don't.